earnestly covered your prayers tonight. It's a blessing to be in worship service again, and I've sometimes comical way of looking at it, but it's a realization to know that we are humans. And Brother Ed mentioned at the start of his prayer request this evening that thank the Lord for worship service. And I want to say that for my sake again tonight, that we need each other. Yes, we need the Lord, and that's obviously none of us can make it without the Lord, but meeting together in fellowship, sharing with each other, the testimonies we've been hearing on Wednesday nights and even this morning, and the songs and the prayers and every church and how we encourage one another and the Lord blesses us. I don't know. It's when you're at your lowest times, this is the place to be. And this is the place where we fight together, we pray together, we love together. So I'm thankful tonight for the Lord's blessings to us and this opportunity. I have a little thought tonight that's maybe a little different. It's on forgiveness, but it's a little different perspective. And I want to talk with the Lord's help tonight about forgiving oneself. And we'll ask it this way. We'll start out with asking a question. Have we ever done something in our life that we're ashamed of or really embarrassed about? I mean, we're talking from piddly little things to major things. I don't know. I guess the Lord has a way of keeping us humble. But there's things that I know in my life and I've observed in other people's lives and things other people have shared and even things in the scriptures where the enemy uses little things to put us in a trap or to put us in bondage, to feel like that we can never forget that thing that we did or that thing that we said or whatever it was, whether it was sin or whether it wasn't sin. And I'm not talking tonight about that we need to, I'm not talking about sweeping our sins under the rug and just kind of, well, you know, it's okay. But I'm talking about things that we've done in life that we've asked the Lord's forgiveness. And maybe we even went to someone else and asked them forgiveness. But the devil continues to dangle that in the back of our mind and continue to nag us and haunt us with that guilt. That, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I can never, you know what I'm talking about. I can never forgive myself. I'm going to tell you here tonight, the Lord wants to bring freedom. The Lord, because here's the deal. The enemy knows that if he can keep us in bondage and keep that little guilt, that little cloud over us, feeling oppressed, that we're not going to fight against him and that we're not going to do what the Lord wants us to do for him. So the devil knows that. And there's a scripture in John 8 and 32. It says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's the deal. The devil doesn't want us to know the whole truth. Because the whole truth is the Lord will abundantly forgive you. And the Lord wants to prosper you. The Lord wants to bless you, that you can move forward. That baggage, those things that have kept you bound, that those will drop by the wayside. Apostle Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind it and reaching forward to those things that are before us. So that's what I want us to focus on here tonight. I got a couple little stories to share, but it's something that the enemy loves to just try to keep us in the mully grubs. Because he knows, again, if he can do that, that his kingdom is expanding. The scriptures talk about hell hath enlarged itself. I want to tell you something. This is one of the reasons right here. I've heard of folks that have gone to prison and maybe died on death row, never being able to forgive themselves, even though the families that they harmed or whoever it was, that they forgave them, and maybe the Lord forgave them, but they could never forgive themselves and never rise up in victory. But I'm telling you here tonight, there is victory. There is freedom, and that is by the truth of the word of the Lord. There's another scripture, perhaps this could kind of be the pivoting scripture tonight, in Matthew 18 and 35. It's easy to, in this instance, to focus on everyone else. And for the most part, that's what we try to do. Don't worry about, you know, it's Jesus first, others second, and me last. But in this aspect, sometimes we have to consider ourselves. In Matthew 18 and 35, It says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Now, in this scripture, or in these set of scriptures, it's talking about forgiveness. That sometimes we look at the situation and, you know, as in forgiving your brother, that he trespassed against me, and or whatever the case is, and you fill in the blank, and sometimes that's easier to do. You forgive them, but then sometimes when you look at yourself and you think, how bad of a person, why did I do that? And sometimes that brother or that sister that needs to be forgiven is yourself. Now again, this is a little different way of looking at it, and I'm not saying that that this should be our sole purpose, our sole focus. But I believe that there are some victories to be gained in this very area right here. That I believe the church could grow some more. I believe that personal growth, of course, is where it starts, and then of course the church grows. But there is something that is inbred within us that we want to be accepted, and we don't want to be made to look like a fool, and we don't want to be however you want to fill that in. But we want to feel loved and accepted. And when we've trespassed someone or situation or whatever, and we made someone look bad, or we hurt somebody, and then to think, oh, I can never forgive myself. The devil would love for that to continually be on your mind, so that you could never love again, or so that you could never enter into a relationship of trust again and confidence that I can't do it. I messed up that time and that time and that time. And the devil's saying, yeah, you can't love again. No, you can't be trusted again. That's the devil talking. I'm talking here tonight. There is freedom, and it is by the truth. It shall make you free, set you free. There's a little story, a little true story that I read about a teenage girl. And this is something perhaps different ones of us have experienced to some extent. She was raised in a very loving, friendly family, and had a good relationship with her mother and father. But as she got older, of course, in her early teens, she kind of got into the awkward stage there, and certain things that she would do or say, especially at school, she just really wanted to fit in with all of her friends. And at one point there, her father had to get another job. His original job petered out on him, so he got a job as a janitor. And she wasn't even sure what school he was that he was a janitor at, but one day she arrived at school and realized that it was her father that was a janitor at her school. And in the cafeteria, someone had dropped a tray, and food and dishes went everywhere. And so her father's the one that showed up in the cafeteria, and someone called his name, and she looked up, and oh, that's her father. And one of her friends heard her father's name called out. And so later her friend asked this girl, so was that your father? And this girl was so horrified and so embarrassed that her father was a janitor, she denied it and said, no, I've never seen him before. As soon as she said those words, she's like, what have I done? And it's as if she, you know, all these years she'd had this wonderful relationship with her father, but at a weak moment, she broke down and she denied her father. And she never forgot that. And years went by. I think it was about 15 years. And her father got really sick. And this little cloud was always on her mind. Of course, she tried to get forgiveness for it, but never did confront her father over it. And finally, about 15 years later, her father was sick. And she came to her father and just burst out in tears and told him the whole story. And of course, to him, it was no big, he loved her just the same all the way through. And he knew how awkward she was feeling at school and all that. But the point was, she allowed 15 years there that her life was hampered and it was in turmoil. Her mind was constant, oh, how could I do that? She could never forgive herself. But I'm here to say, the devil loves it when we are miserable. The devil loves it when we're not feeling the true victory in our souls and trying to forget those things that are in the past, and when we don't really confront things, issues like we should. The devil loves that. But I'm here to say there is a gospel of truth that can set you free. There's another story about a bus driver, and I'll just read his quote here. It's rather sad in a sense, but this is what he said, a school bus driver. He says, "You come to a point when you've prayed, you've asked forgiveness, you've done everything you can do, and you just decide you have to forgive yourself. Stop brooding over it and get on with life. That's all you can do." This is a school bus driver who accidentally ran over a child and killed her. And you know, that's something that it could happen to any of us. I've heard firsthand experiences of people that have done such a thing. And when they start talking about it, it's like their countenance just changes. Because there's that guilt again and that feeling. And I'm not trying to stand up here and say that we're not going to have feelings and emotions tonight. That's not my point. But the point is, the devil would love for us to walk around feeling defeated, feeling like we're no count, that we can't do anything because of all that in the past. But I'm here to say, if Apostle Paul can forget his past, where he sanctioned people being killed, and then go out and preach the gospel and win souls to Christ, and I say there's hope for you and I tonight. Now here's another little example. We know an example in the Bible, Old Testament story. In Genesis, the 45th chapter, let's read a few scriptures here. This is about Joseph and his brothers. And you all remember the story, how his brothers treated him so unfairly, so unjustly, so cruel, and sold him as a slave. And of course, eventually his brothers show up in need of help there in Egypt. And in Genesis 45, verses 4 through 8, his brothers finally show up. And let's start with verse 4. "And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you." And these guys are, they're going to be shocked here. He says, "And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold unto Egypt." Now, let's just stop right there and think. What was going through his brothers' minds? They're thinking, this is it. We're had. this is a trap. This is the end of our life. But he says, verse 5, "Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Now I want to give one little condition here. Not all of us are going to have Josephs to deal with, okay? He was very forgiven. He acknowledged the Lord's divine providence moving in all of this. But the point was, his brothers, and this wasn't the end of the story. There was more things that developed after this. But after this first appearance of their brother Joseph, imagine again what was flooding over their minds. And they're remembering that day when they threw him in the well. And they're thinking, this is it. But the story goes on. His brothers, they don't give up. They don't run away for their lives after this. And no, they go back home and they follow through the procedures and eventually bring back their father and everything as well. But there's something about when the Lord is working in forgiveness. And this is something where to accept forgiveness, okay? This is where, again, the devil's playground is, you could say, self-pity. That woe is me. Oh, I was so bad and I don't deserve anything and I just don't want to hear it. To where you can actually reject forgiveness, okay? That sounds really bizarre, but you realize there are people out there today, right now, that are rejecting forgiveness. Not only from God, but from other people. They're like, no, I don't even want to go there. I don't want to go talk about it. It's bad. It's in the past. And I just want to forget about it. But I'm here to say that's not the truth. Let's deal with the truth. what really happened here, God was wanting to extend forgiveness to them through Joseph. And so his brother's job was, let's accept that forgiveness, even though they didn't deserve it. Now let's stop and think here for a moment. What about Judah? Judah was one of them that was kind of in on this thing, but Jesus Christ came from the tribe of Judah. In other words, that's an example of someone, he accepted God's forgiveness and was able to fit into God's eternal plan. You see, God can use you and I. Judah wasn't a total failure, and he wasn't just something that collected dust on the shelf and he was forever forgotten. Now I want to tell you something here tonight. The Lord has a plan for you. It doesn't matter, big or small. Be encouraged that even though you feel like you've messed up royally in your life or whatever has happened in the past and all those things just nag you and haunt you day in and day out, that there is forgiveness. There is deliverance. Judah found it and moved forward with his life. Well, there's another with Joseph, another part, Genesis, the 50th chapter. 50 verses 15 through 21. Now this is after Joseph's father had died. And now his brothers are thinking, okay. Some are thinking, well, maybe now we're going to feel some of his judgment. Now that father's dead, let's see what Joseph does. But no, Joseph was the same. And verse 15, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sins, for they did unto thee evil. And now, we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when he spake with them. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones, and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. You see here, in a sense, this could be a type and shadow of Christ. What Joseph was doing here, he was extending forgiveness to his brothers, saying, don't be crushed and don't let this defeat you and don't let this ruin your life. And he's saying here, for am I in the place of God? He's saying, God allowed this to happen. And I'm not saying here tonight that all the trespasses and all the sins or all the mistakes or all the failures in your life, I'm not saying that God was in all of those, but I'm saying God can make something of those if you commit them to the Lord and keep your life and your love committed to Him. What's it say? Romans 8 and 28, you all know the verse. All things work together to them that love God. All things work together. That's what Joseph got a hold of, and he was trying to extend that to his brothers, saying, don't harm yourselves. Don't be mad at yourselves. Yes, you can grieve over that and repent and ask forgiveness, but move on. Don't let it ruin your life. Well, I'm thankful it didn't. There were a few of his brothers, of course, that maybe didn't turn out as well as they should have, but the point was, there were some that got a hold of that. They accepted that forgiveness and they moved on. So that should be an encouragement to us. There's another example, a very familiar one. We've touched on him so many times. Good old Peter. You think of what he did there, denying Christ those three times, and the guilt and the shame that he felt over that, to try to forgive himself. But in John, the 21st chapter, we can read what happened here. Jesus didn't forget him. Oh, thank the Lord. He hasn't forgotten you and I either. In John 21, verses 15 through 17. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Talk about the fish. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the Lord, He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. You see what Jesus is trying to get across to him, saying, Peter, because after Jesus was died, or Jesus was crucified and rose from the grave and was gone, and Peter thinking, you know, all hope is lost and he's just going to go back to doing whatever he was used to doing. Jesus was trying to, he was giving him, we've heard from Sister Renell talking about a charge. Jesus was giving him a job to do, something to occupy his mind. You see how the Lord works? The Lord is faithful, that he doesn't want us just to sit around twiddling our thumbs and saying, woe is me, and feeling sorry for myself, and I messed up so many times and there's no hope, it's just me. And the Lord's saying, no, there's something greater. There's something above this. There's freedom from this bondage that you're in. You don't have to live in the mully grub, so to speak, the rest of your life saying, Peter, get up and get busy. And you know what? Peter did. He did just that very thing. The contrast, of course, is Judas Iscariot. We know what he did. He couldn't forgive himself. And such defeat was in his life. But Peter was someone different. And sometimes it's good to remind ourselves that there's hope. That not all things are lost. Not all hope is lost. But the key was Jesus. And Peter said this too. He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. And so Peter's thinking, why do you keep hammering me over this? You know my heart. But Jesus again was trying to get his point across and hadn't led to that climax yet, that get up and get busy. Peter didn't realize what he was fixing to say. And Peter was shocked maybe a little bit there, but Peter got up, moved on with life. But there's something about when we wallow around in our self-pity and the unforgiveness of ourselves, that we can't be very useful for the Lord. I mean, how useful is a servant or a soldier in the army of the Lord when they're kind of lurking back in the background and kind of, if we could say it this way, kind of piddling around with the weapons of the warfare and just kind of picking them up every once in a while and throwing them down. Well, just kind of, you know, maybe polish them a little bit and then set it down and not really doing anything. And I'm not saying here that we need to, in brashness get in a hurry about things, say, okay, I'm going to go out and set the world on fire. No, perhaps one of the best examples is Peter. He worked his way back into, he didn't just start off, there was several days there, I believe, I don't know if it was 50 days or whatever, before the day of Pentecost, and he went about fasting and praying and whatever else went in there, and then they were all together in unity in the upper room praying, seeking God. So that is, if you could say, perhaps the cornerstone or the beginning point of getting back in fellowship with the Lord and getting over those defeats and moving on, is get down on your knees and continue to pour your heart out before the Lord. And in humility say, Lord, you know who I am, like Peter's. And I'd love to have a little printout of all the prayers that took place in that upper room before that day of Pentecost happened. But there were some, no doubt, some powerful prayers and some saying, oh, Lord, please, you know, asking forgiveness again and say, Lord, help me to move forward with this. And you know, Apostle Paul went through the same thing. Lord, help me to move beyond those things. When I see these very people that I persecuted and look in these wives or these children's faces of the very ones, their husbands or their fathers were killed because I sanctioned it. But he, with the Lord's grace, was able to look them in the face and say, this is the Lord's church. And I'm a changed man, and I'll prove it to you by my love, my dedication, by my sacrifice, that I'll go through all these persecutions just for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that I used to persecute. Well, I want to remind us again that the Lord knows all things. There's another little story I want to pick up. in Exodus, the 14th chapter, story of Moses. It's a little, perhaps something that's overlooked. But again, just giving an example of that the Lord knows your heart. And the Lord hasn't forgotten you. And the Lord wants to help you. And not just you, He wants to prosper all of us. And He wants to save those that are lost. But He's going to have to use tools like you and I. And so therefore, we're going to have to, with the Lord's grace, clean up our lives and get on with the program and forget those things that are in the past and reach forward to those things and victory. But here, the children of Israel were trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. And, of course, the children of Israel started doing their favorite thing, started murmuring and complaining. Oh, boy, here we are. We're trapped. We're dead. Children of Israel started whining and saying, oh, this is it. I wish I was back in Egypt and doing all these things. And Moses is hearing all this. And he's thinking, oh, my, what have I gotten myself into? Well, again, the 14th chapter in verse 15. And before that, he tries to calm the children of Israel down. Verse 14 says, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. He said, calm down, just let the Lord work, just let the Lord move here. But here's something that kind of goes under the radar. Verse 15, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Now here's an interesting fact. You don't find anywhere in this chapter 14 previous to this where you find the words of Moses praying or crying before the Lord. But I dare say in his heart and in his mind, he's saying, oh Lord, what do I do? What about these people? What about me? What are you? And he wasn't speaking those in audible words perhaps, but in his heart and in his mind saying, Lord, what am I to do? And perhaps he's saying, Lord, maybe I didn't prepare things well enough or deal with these people long enough and try to get them in a better mood about all this or all these things going through Moses. Or maybe I should have done things different with Pharaoh and started second guessing all these things that the Lord had worked and moved up to this point. And perhaps he's even thinking again, oh, what about that time when I killed that Egyptian years ago? And start thinking about all those things and all the past coming back up. I don't know what all was going through his mind. But in his heart and in his mind, he was obviously crying before the Lord. And the Lord saw that. He says, wherefore criest thou unto me? He said, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. You know, that's what I want us to get a hold of tonight. Yes. That we can go forward. That not just Moses, but all the camp of the Israelites, that they were to go forward in faith, believing that the Lord's going to take care of it. We're not sure what's going to happen back here, but if I turn and face, yes, here's the Red Sea, but just take a step forward. And then, of course, then the Lord commanded Moses, raise your rod over the sea. And he raised it over the sea and it parted. I want to tell you something here tonight. That there is deliverance. The children of Israel found deliverance. Moses, they all found deliverance that day together, okay? They all had to work together. They all had to accept that the Lord told us to do this, and they obeyed Moses, and Moses obeyed the Lord, and Moses had to forget all those things are in the past. Said, okay, the Lord said, deliverance is going to come. Well, let's see what happens. And he raises that rod, and deliverance came. So, dear ones, I want to say something here tonight. That the Lord wants us to move forward, to go forward, to go on in victory. And you know what that takes? That takes faith. That takes faith in believing that, yes, the Lord accepts my sacrifice. The Lord accepts my pleading for forgiveness and all those things. And the Lord accepts my just who I am. Just like Peter. That was just Peter. He was brash and he was outspoken and he would do all those things. But the Lord accepted him. The Lord wanted him. The Lord wanted to use him. The same with Moses. The Lord didn't forget Moses. When Moses was out there for 40 years working out there as a little shepherd, ran away from God and from the Egyptians, from his own people after he killed the Egyptian, ran away for 40 years, but the Lord still had a plan. And the Lord still saw Moses out there and came and visited him. In a burning bush. Isn't that wonderful? That the Lord knows exactly where you're at. And the Lord wants to take and find that a little, if we could say, a burning bush experience in your life and say, this is a little Ebenezer stone. This is a turning point in your life. I want to use you. I want to make something of you that you can forget those things. It's washed under the blood and move forward in victory. And that's what he told Moses. Moses, yes, he finally left those things, went back to Egypt, and the rest is history. You see how the Lord used Moses. He wasn't a perfect man. He still got a little, in a hurry or maybe a little carnal there when he struck the rock a couple of times. And the Lord reproved him of that. And he was reprimanded and experienced some of God's judgment over that. But again, Moses didn't allow that very defeat, that very disappointment, he still didn't allow that to defeat him in the end. He persevered for the next 40 years. Said, no, that's in the past. I've asked the Lord forgiveness. But he moved on and continued with his work. Continued with the task, the job that the Lord gave him. And in the end, what happened to Moses when he died? The Lord buried him. That was a special place. Moses had, a special place in the Lord's heart. You know, we all have a special place in the Lord's heart tonight. He wants us, again, dear ones, to move forward. I want to read this scripture again. In the 15th verse says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? In other words, he didn't want Moses just to stand there in that same spot and just stay in that same frame of mind, just crying before the Lord, and that's all that would happen. He's saying, why criest thou unto me? Speak. So in other words, turn around, do what I tell you to do, obey me, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And you know, he was part of that group too. And so we can say that from the Lord, he's saying, let's go forward, dear ones. Let's go forward. Let's go on to victory. Let's go on to deliverance where we're free from the bondage. I want to read this scripture again, John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the truth here tonight is the Lord has forgiven you and the Lord wants to prosper you. The Lord wants you to go forth unto victory. You pray for me that I'd be faithful.